Thanks for listening to On Software, conversations and tips from the industry's leading developers across a wide range of programming and development topics. For more information, visit informit.com/podcasts and subscribe today.
Hello, my name is Buck Woody, the database guide at informit.com, your source for the latest on information technology. On the phone today, we have Rob Stewart, who is a contributing author at InformIT and one of the authors of a new book on coding called The Data Access Handbook, Achieving Optimal Database Application Performance and Scalability. Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Buck.
Hey, Rob, tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been working in IT?
Well, I've been in the IT business for a little over 15 years now. I'm currently Vice President of Research and Development at DataDirect Technologies, which is a division of Progress Software. I've spent most of that 15 years developing database middleware. So ODBC drivers and OADB providers and ADO.NET and JDBC drivers. I've had various positions from support to QA to development and to program management, as well as my current role as Vice President of Research and Development. Got my undergraduate degree in computer science from North Carolina State University.
Has this been your only career, Rob?
Yes, it has. I have always had a love of computers. My father worked for IBM his whole career, most of his career. And in 1981, when PCs first came out, had one in the house. I was 10 years old and started programming in BASIC and pretty much have been programming ever since.
Awesome. Sounds like a dynasty going there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, tell me what brought you to write this book. I mean, there's a lot of books out there on tech. What brought you to write this one?
Well, you know, in a nutshell, we wrote the book because we've been told that the world is flat. And by the 6th century, Greek philosophers had started to present significant evidence that the world was in fact round. But even so, it took hundreds of more years for people to start to believe that. Now, the same kind of thing has happened with database application performance. When people write their applications and roll them out, and they don't perform or scale as well as their business needs require, the first thing that the experts will tell you is you need to tune your database. So you need to modify those configuration parameters. You need to create the right schemas with the right tables and the right indexes and the right relationships. And, you know, that's absolutely true. You need to do that. But what often we see is that people do that tuning and it doesn't fix their problems. And the reason why it doesn't fix their problems is because in today's environments and once you've tuned that database, what we see is that 75 to 95% of the time spent in your application accessing that data is actually spent in the database middleware and on the network. Again, I've spent the last 15 years in this field, and I've helped literally hundreds and thousands of people with their performance problems. Spent kind of the last 10 years or so, I've spent a lot of time speaking at conferences like Java One or TechEd or many others, writing articles, writing white papers, doing webinars, and just trying to share the knowledge that we have on how that layer, how that middle part, that middleware, those drivers or that network or how that interaction happens, how does that really impact the performance? You know, with 75 to 95% of the time being spent there, it has a huge effect on your overall application performance. And John, my co-author, between the two of us, we have, again, almost 40 years of experience in building that middleware, and we know what kind of difference that it can make, the kind of calls you make into that middleware, how you configure it, you know, what are the different choices there that a lot of people overlook. Now, about 2 years ago, we sat down and said, you know, these sessions that we give and these talks that we give tend to be very popular, and we've helped a lot of people, But if you walk into a Barnes & Noble or you look on Amazon, you're going to find book after book after book on how to tune your Oracle server or how to tune your SQL server or how to tune DB2. But what you won't find is a single book written on how to tune that middleware and why that middleware matters and what are the choices that you make that can have a huge overall impact on your performance. So about 2 years ago, we decided, you know, we really need to write a book and we need to collect all these things that we say and this knowledge that we have and the things that we've helped people with. We need to collect it in one place that people can access it. Because again, if you look, the information is just not out there. It's kind of like black magic trying to understand how those layers work and what they do. I like to use an example. Again, what's in this book is a collection of our knowledge over those 40 years in the business between the two of us. A couple of years ago, I was given a talk and a guy came up to me after the talk. And he said, you know, I heard you give this tip a year ago at a different talk that I was given. And he said, I just have to tell you, we were doing basically inserting 5 million rows, and that was essentially the operation they were doing. But he said it was taking 8 hours to do. And this one tip that you gave out in this talk, I went back to the office and I made that change to my code, and all of a sudden it started taking 10 minutes. Now, he didn't tune his database and he didn't do any of those things. All he did was make one little change on the way he was accessing that database middleware, and that process went from taking 8 hours to 10 minutes. Now, that's certainly a dramatic story and a dramatic difference, but it's the kinds of things that I'm talking about. You know, the world is not flat. There is not just one solution to your database application performance issues. It's not just about tuning the database. It's about that middleware as well. So the book is really written to explain why that's true and what you can do to help your application.
Right. That's so true. I've been a DBA for 22 years myself, and the old joke is that you can usually tell who the DBA is because they're the only person in the room that believes that the performance problem might be something other than the database.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. The DBA, right, default blame acceptor. So I completely agree with that, and you're right. You just see a dearth of material out there that explains that middle tier. And I noticed that you've got an interesting range of topics there. You've got ODBC, JDBC, and .NET. I mean, why did you pick those big three?
Okay, well, you know, first of all, it is around our backgrounds, we build ODBC drivers, ADO.NET data providers, JDBC drivers, OADB providers, those kinds of things. But it is, in fact, what most of the world uses to access their database. Now, they may use some layer on top of that. So they may use something like Hibernate in the Java world, but that Hibernate is sitting on top of JDBC, right? Or they may use ADO. On Windows, but that's sitting on top of OADB or ODBC. So standards-based data connectivity, right, is what we make, and ODBC, JDBC, ADO.NET, those are all standards. And they are, in fact, what the majority of the world uses on the client side to access their data.
Awesome. Yeah, I noticed as I was reading the book, you would have a section where you would describe a topic, and you'd say, for ODBC, go here, for JDBC, go here, and so on. That was very helpful to me, because that way I could focus in on a particular area that I cared about at that time. I haven't done a lot with JDBC myself, so it was eye-opening for me to learn about those things as well.
Yeah, now, it was very purposeful to have separate chapters, and there's a lot of stuff, like we have a specific chapter for ODBC. We have a specific chapter for JDBC. We have a specific chapter for ADO.NET. And then all the other chapters are sort of more general and talk about all of them. Right. But those three chapters in particular, we wanted to give people a reference to turn to if they are using ODBC versus ADO.NET versus JDBC. That way, if you're a Java guy and you're using JDBC, you don't necessarily want to know how to do something in ODBC.
Exactly. That's awesome. No, it worked out very well. I also noticed at the very back there, you've got an entire section on service-oriented architectures, or SOA. Right. I've seen some companies put these systems in and to varying degrees of success. Are you seeing a lot of SOA uptake?
We absolutely are seeing a lot of SOA uptake. And, you know, most companies are either still designing what they're going to do or doing it. Now, some companies are not, but a lot are. Now, we approach it in this book from the point of view of data access within that environment, right? So we're specifically talking about data access there, but we definitely see, you know, of our customers, our large corporate customers, almost all of them are either doing something with SOA or are still kind of in the design phase and talking about it. But it is pretty prolific at this point, I would say.
That's great to hear. So let me ask you this then. What are you seeing as the primary factors of a SOA system that succeeds versus a SOA implementation that fails?
Well, I'll take that question from a data point of view, because I've seen, you know, implementations that failed solely because the data access strategy was not well thought out up front. And that's really what the chapter in the book is about. The big issue we see with some failed SOA implementations around data is that you typically have the SOA architects doing the design work, and they're not the data guys. Right, so they know a lot about how you make services and how you design services, but what they don't understand is what's the fastest way to access that data. And so they do the design and they come up with these services that access particular data, but they're not the guys that know how to make it perform and scale well. So when I've seen successful SOA implementations from a data point of view, they also involve those data architects and those DBAs, right? What is the best way to make this service perform and scale? Now, a big thing that I've seen when SOA fails is they may roll it out and they may have a service that's designed for some application that has 50 users. And they roll it out and it works fine. Okay, and those services are accessing their data, it's all working great. Well, part of the promise of SOA is reuse. So the next application comes along and starts to use that service. And now all of a sudden you've got 100 users on that service. And the performance may be okay. And then another application rolls out to use those data services. And all of a sudden that service, which you designed for 50 users, all of a sudden has 500 users on it, and it's not scaling and it's not working. Because in the end, the performance for all of the applications is bad. You know, so the chapter in the book specifically talks about what's the best way to get into designing services that access data. And that's one of the places that I've seen over and over. When the infrastructure starts to scale up and you start to add users to all those services, there are a lot of bottlenecks that you run into.
Right.
And that's where I've seen some of the more prominent failures that I have seen.
That's a great point. I think that SOA systems have gotten a bad rap lately, and they've sort of fallen out of vogue, but their initial promise of a data bus is exactly the way that a lot of companies need to go. But I think your book is right on target with talking about that middle layer and getting there quickly. So, Robin, our final question here, who do you feel is the best audience for this kind of book? I mean, who should be reading this? Is this a dev book? Is this a DBA book? Who should be reading this?
Well, we really designed the book to aim at three audiences. One is architects, one is DBAs, and one is programmers. So there are pieces of the book that are useful for all of them, and most of the book is useful for each one of them. So, for example, we have a designing chapter.
Right.
You know, how to design your applications and the things that you worry about in your app, in the environment for your application that you should look at from an architectural point of view. So for those architects and for the DBAs, I think there's a lot that DBAs can learn. You mentioned this earlier about how, you know, the DBAs often know that the issues on the database are actually caused by something that's going on the client.
Right.
So for the DBAs, help them understand what are the choices that are being made on that client side that have an effect on that database. And then, of course, for the programmers, which I think is more of the, I would say the primary audiences are more the architects and the programmers, but it's also helpful for DBAs. But for the programmers, there's a lot of code in this book. Each of those, we mentioned these three specific chapters on ODBC and ADO.NET and JDBC. I mean, there's a lot of code in those chapters specific to those APIs. So when we explain the concepts that you need to understand on how all this stuff works and what are the choices you need to make, we give you the code. We show you that JDBC code or that ODBC code that you need. And there's code throughout the book. In some of the more generic chapters as well, we'll kind of flip back and forth between C-sharp and Java and C++. But again, I think all three of those audiences would find this book very useful.
That's great. Rob, I sure appreciate your time today. I just want to wish you the best on the book, and I hope it finds a great uptake in the market. This has been Buck Woody, the database guide at informit.com, and we've been talking with Rob Stewart, who's one of the authors of a new book called The Data Access Handbook, Achieving Optimal Database Application Performance and Scalability. You can find that book and many others at informit.com. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to On Software, conversations and tips from the industry's leading developers across a wide range of programming and development topics. For more information, visit informit.com/podcasts. And subscribe today.